is happening, you guys? Welcome back to the Let's Go Win podcast, where we are here to help you be happy, healthy, wealthy, and get better every single day. We're going to be talking about some pretty powerful stuff today. There's no question about it. This guest has lived quite the life. I think he is also journaling and documenting something that's so truly important that I can't wait to hear truly what that journey has looked like thus far. And I'm excited for him to share. After climbing off the canvas of death from near suicide in 2023, Nigel Thomas now documents his comeback and is building a massive entrepreneurial community, the David to Goliath newsletter. Prior to this, he built three digital marketing agencies from scratch, two of which scaled to over seven figures in revenue. His strength is leadership and sharing not only the good, but also the bad and damn right ugly side of what it truly takes to be an entrepreneur. No words are truer than that. Nigel, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I appreciate you, JM. You know, we were talking just before we got started about obviously the fact you lost your dad to suicide, and more people need to come forward and talk about that stuff. And it is hard. Like, we run these businesses. I'm sure a lot of people listening, they've got great things they want to achieve, and we have to balance everything. The human journey is an emotional one, and my goal is to help document that and not hold anything back, because as you know, JM, life is definitely not a highlight reel on social media.
So true, man. And, you know, from the outside looking in, again, you and I just briefly spoke, but you read that and you're like, well, this guy has crushed it in business. He's built two, you know, marketing agencies over seven figures. That sounds awesome, but there's always more to the story than that. And I definitely want to get into really talking about, you know, that work-life balance, if you will, that having true perspective. But tell me, brother, just I'll give you like the snippet of your story, because obviously there's a lot there. We're going to uncover a lot in this.
Yeah.
But for you to be so vulnerable to say, look, it wasn't long ago that this near experience of almost losing your life to now I'm going to be so vulnerable, I'm going to document it. That takes a lot of courage, man. That takes, I'm so glad you're doing it, but yet at the same time, you don't see that often.
Yeah. But look, when I was on that balcony in Austin about 4 months ago now, thinking about jumping off and taking my own life, I needed something to pull me back. And I said to myself in that moment, if I'm not going to continue for me, I'm going to do this for everyone else who deserves a second chance. Because the reason that I was in this unfortunate situation is because I lost the person that believed in me most. And it was actually the woman that gave me all the confidence, because I was not a confident person. Like, yeah, sure, I've talked on stage in front of hundreds of people. You know, I've ran these companies and stuff, but I was not a confident person. I got bullied incessantly at school because of my skin condition called eczema. And she gave me the confidence to believe in myself. She passed on that belief to me. And we actually built these marketing agencies together. And because it was so deep in my foundation, I trusted it with everything like I've never trusted anyone before. She cut me off overnight. And even though I was in that really dark situation, thinking I'm taking my own life, I had gratitude in that moment as well, because I actually had the experience of someone believing in me. And I know a lot of people listen, they might not have had that. They might have these crazy ideas that keep them up at night. Because as Steve Jobs said, you know, it's the ones who are crazy enough to think they can change the world who do. But what he didn't say, JM, is that the best ideas, unfortunately, are left in graveyards all over our lands, because people didn't have the self-belief to take a chance. And my mission is to make that chance a choice, because the only way to jump into that unknown is and go through that uncertainty, because no one has a success blueprint guaranteed laid out of them. The only way to do it is to believe in yourself. And the whole reason it's called David to Goliath is because we don't need to get into the religious side, but David beat the mighty Goliath because he had belief transferred to him. Just with a slingshot and a few pebbles, he managed to do the impossible. And it was because of the core belief that he had. And my mission is to pass that belief on to other people.
Well, I think it's amazing. I, you know, as you're talking, and I put myself back into this, that school age or whatever it was when people were bullying. And, you know, I just had a conversation on this with my, well, now my son's former baseball coach, because words matter. And ultimately what you're saying on both sides, right? From, because of a skin condition, these, I'm hoping they're kids, but maybe they're all over the map and I don't know, but you know, people make these judgments or comments or bully for no reason. And obviously I don't think anybody, any of my listeners are going to ever agree. Bullying, it's awful and it needs to stop, because truly that can determine the fate of people's lives. Conversely, this woman gives you this great confidence and believes in you. And I guess that's what I want to say, is just words matter. I want people to hear that, because your words truly matter when you're saying it to people, both harmfully and in a way that is extremely helpful. Talk to me a little bit about both of those, Nigel, because again, I don't think people understand you, when you speak, when you say something, people absolutely grab a hold of that. And the quick story of the baseball coach, he literally said, replace me. And I said, okay. So I did. He said, I didn't mean it. Well, brother, you told me to replace you. What else do you want me to do? And that's not comparing my situation with yours, but I want people to understand your words matter.
Yeah, 100%. So when I was in school, I'm 32 years old, don't know what it's like these days, but after sports, we all the guys used to shower together. And we had quite militant teachers, so they forced you to go in the showers, right? And I remember standing there naked with wounds and scars all over my body because of this eczema condition. It was very aggressive. And the other kids laughed at me. You know, they told me I wouldn't amount to anything in life. They told me how ugly I was. And because of the dryness of my skin, they used to call me Krusty the Clown. And it took me about 10 to 15 years to even open up about that. But deep inside, I knew I had greatness inside of me. But actually now, looking back, what I've realized, and if this isn't just for people who bully you, people who criticize you, or they're really harsh to cast judgment, is they're the most insecure people in the world. Because when people throw out insults, it's basically a mirror. So when you see all these trolls and stuff online, you can actually understand what they're going through, because they're revealing all of their cards. Like when someone says to you, oh, you're failing as an entrepreneur, and they're pointing at, they're laughing, basically what they're saying is they know internally they want to take a risk. And because you're now changing and you're doing something for the betterment of yourself, the way that they're channeling that insecurity is by pointing the finger at you, because it makes them feel better. So, but the problem is even if you tell people this, a lot of people can't comprehend that. And really, they need to learn the lesson themselves. So you can try and educate them. But I think for me, it's more empowering to know that you've just got to believe in yourself anyway. Because if I'm to sit here and tell you that you're going to go out into the world, you're not going to get any hate, I'd be lying. Because a lot of people are very insecure in this world. But when you start to understand why people have insecurities, then you're more accepting of it. And it's not to mean you shouldn't educate people. You know, when people do something like that, so you should definitely tell them and confront them, but try and understand it from their perspective, and whatever they're saying, see it as a mirror. And I think this is develops more human consciousness across the board.
The fact that you're at this moment and you have the foresight, the insight, the vision to say, you know what, this is bigger than me. I want to serve others and in a way that doesn't allow them to ever get to this ledge.
Yeah.
This is a conversation that I'm so glad is happening. Obviously I never wish that you were on that ledge. I never want anyone close to that point. Yet you document it as saying, look, there is something greater than just you. I don't want to put words in your head, but for me, that's the why, right? The person that has been on the other side, you wonder why. How could they possibly leave us and do these things? To you, to have that foresight to say, I'm actually going to serve those that are in great pain. I am going to show them that there is more to this world than the pain or the loss of confidence or the loss of a loved one. How is that literally, you said, let's not get biblical, but I mean, is it a divine act? Is that ultimately what you feel happened? Or how were you able to do it, brother? Because I want to reach someone else as you do to say, look, if you're on that ledge or you're having these thoughts, there is so much more, and please, please reach out.
Yeah, it is. It's really funny because so one of my best friends is helping me do it. And so when I got into this really bad situation, for anyone who's in that situation, one of the best ways to get you out, which is what I did, is just start exercising. And we started going, me and my friend, on these 6 a.m. runs in the morning. And you can imagine in Britain, in the UK, where I am right now, it's dark, it's pitch black, it's pissing with rain. But we got out there on the road, and I had this thing where it's like, you got the voice of the victim, you got the voice of the champion, you know, like the champion, Muhammad Ali. And the voice of the victim's the one that when the alarm goes off and you're in those warm, comfortable blankets, it tells you to stay in bed. It comes in and it gives you all those voices of the bullies and the haters and the people that have, you know, they betrayed you. But you've got to stamp that out. And we stamp that out one stride at a time on these runs. And at the end of one of these runs in December, I was actually thinking of calling the newsletter either The Man in the Arena, because I love that quote from Theodore Roosevelt, or David to Goliath. And he was more of an outsider. He's not really been involved in business that much. I basically asked him, so which one do you think would resonate more with people? And he said, look, The Man in the Arena, it's a really good quote, but David to Goliath, there's just something biblical about that because everyone's been touched by that story. And the reason why I share that story is because if we look back over 50,000 years, humans have been communicating by stories, whether it's oral, whether it's verbal. I mean, the internet was only created in 1983, but the best way to communicate with humans as stories. So if I can build the best story, then I'll be able to inspire and impact the most amount of people. So yes, to answer your question, it definitely is biblical. And I think if you're in one of those moments, what I've been telling myself every single day, because the reason my story is a little bit different, GM, is I'm in the pain right now. I can see it in my eyes. I'm not lying. I'm struggling every single day. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to get over this woman. I want to believe I can, but I'm documenting in the pain. And for anyone who's in that moment right now, what you got to tell yourself is imagine the story that I'm going to tell, especially if you document it, when I come back from this. Because that story will inspire not only your children, not only your grandchildren, but it inspire thousands, if not millions, of other people along the way, because ultimately the best story wins.
Yeah, as much as I love the quote as well, The Man in the Arena, it is amazing. The moment you say David and Goliath, there's a picture and you see it. I literally see the stone and it makes sense. So I think you made a really good decision there. The power of story, man, it is going to be powerful. A, what you're telling today. B, the fact that you're saying, look, I'm not okay. I do need support. But I want to share this pain so people understand you're not alone. Is that a big part of it, brother, to have people say, gosh, you're not alone. And I know you're going through something that's horrible, but every single human being walking this planet at some point will go through this horrible adversity. It just happens. That's part of life. And I want people to know that this too shall pass. Not saying it's going to be easy, right? Getting over this woman. I'm not saying maybe she will be the love of your life forever. However, you are waking up each day. You are doing these runs and feeling alive. And to me, gosh, that's a sure better option than the other one, which is, you know what? There's a lot to live for right now. I don't know, brother. Is that really the hope for people to see you truly go through? Again, you said, I'm in pain now. You're not alone.
Yeah. It's not about me. I mean, it is about me for the fact that obviously this is the channel that I'm using to climb off the canvas of death, to get back and build a big business in public. But it's not about me in the sense that the David to Goliath journey, it can mean a million different things for everyone who's tuning into it. And I really believe in the power of people. Harvard Business Review conducted a study, the longest study ever done on human happiness. For 85 years, they tracked these guys in the States. They tracked everything. And what they found, the number one thing for human happiness, which is quite astounding, is deep, meaningful relationships. And if we think about it, it makes sense. Because the reason me and you are having this conversation right now, JM, is because as tribes, our ancestors banded together and they got through adversities. You know, we think we've got adversities today, and we should be open about those. But the adversities that our ancestors got through, we can't even imagine the darkness they went through to get here. So it's a proven methodology that's deep in our biology and evolution that we band together as tribes. And whilst the internet's been incredible for connection and diversifying power and obviously access to education, what it's not good is for building deep, meaningful relationships. And I think inherently people feel now something is wrong. And I worry for the next generation because they lack the social skills, because they don't know how to form these deep, meaningful connections. And now we see suicide rates, depression stats are all through the roof. And I really do believe that if I can help what I'm building, build a community, and mine is more for like entrepreneurs, that kind of growth mindset that, you know, if you want to be exceptional, you're going to be an exception, and saying to them, it's okay to have your crazy ideas. It's okay to be obsessed. That's my take. But I think other people can take that away. And again, if you're struggling, it's find a community and find those deep, meaningful relationships. You don't only need four or five. You can only have, I think in the study, it was like 9 max deep, meaningful relationships. But if you find those people, and you find those people that say to you, you're good how you are. You do you. They don't try and change you. They empower you to do what you want, which is like what this woman did to me. Then that is the best gift you can ever have in life, honestly.
Yeah, it's so fascinating, not in a good way, but the fact that, to your point, generations ago, life is easier per se. We have more accessibility to everything. Things are faster. Innovation happens. Like, on the surface, everything should be better, yet we see these depression rates being higher than ever. We see these suicide rates being higher than ever. So the two don't necessarily equate. And what's really interesting about this is true happiness does come from within. It truly does come from finding that belief in yourself. And yet in this modern world, it is fascinating that we're not taking wagons and dealing with a lot of the hardships, yet we have our own problems, and they are arguably, I guess, in our perspective wise, they're creating a hell of a lot of trauma out there. I don't know if I have a point other than it's just like, you're right. You think back to what they had to go through. That was a lot of real pain, and it should be easier now, but yet from a mental health perspective, it's just, we're not seeing it increase that much.
Yeah. I also, maybe I shouldn't have used the word happiness, because I think this is also another problem. Like, people think that they need to be happy all the time, but the best representation I can give you to show you that this is not the case is the stock market. It might be sound like a bit of a weird analogy, but if humans, because basically what the stock market is, like, I understand inside trading or that, but from a high level perspective, the stock market is essentially a reflection of human psychology. Because when people obviously are fearful, they sell. When they are, you know, they have greed and they're excited, they buy. And that's why it goes up and down. So it's a representation of human psychology. Now, if it was constant and you had one state of emotion, the stock market would just go up in one big straight line. And that's why success is never one linear line. It's always up and down. That's the reality. It's not the social media highlight reels. And I think just understanding that and accepting that you're not always going to feel happy, but this is part of the human experience. And I think if people are optimizing for happiness, you're literally doomed to fail, because you're not always going to be happy. But for me, what, say, success is or happiness is struggling to achieve a great goal and then having people around you that are also struggling, and you struggle together like our tribes did, and you get through it. And for anyone who disagrees with me, this is the question I'll ask, because I'll be interested to hear from your perspective too, JM. Because for me, when I look back at some of the toughest moments of my life, especially if it's, you know, in business, when things are about to go bust and I managed to turn it around, or, you know, just the craziest things in the situation, we're going through so much pain, you manage to figure it out. They're some of my best memories in life, and they taught me some of the best lessons. So that shows to me that it's not all about happiness. I'd be interested to hear your perspective, though.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, look, human beings, we actually love to be challenged. It is a truth. So, for instance, I'll equate it to a video game. If we're playing a video game and we hit a perfect score every time, what happens? We get bored. The game is no longer interesting. That's why, and again, it's hard, because if somebody is really struggling with mental health, this, what I'm about to say, that they might be like, fuck you, dude. That doesn't make sense. But the truth is, when you're at going through that hardship, the other side is something fantastic. It always is. Life is not dark, dark, dark. We don't know light without dark. And so when you're getting your ass kicked in business or a relationship, what inevitably is going to come next is going to be profound, and it's going to be amazing. That's just the way it works. And so if you can be in this state of mind to actually say thank you to whatever hardship it may be, thank you that I went through. I know somebody who wrote a book, and they literally called it Thank You Cancer, because they went through cancer. No one wants that. Yet she had found true fulfillment. She had found her real passion and purpose in life to help others. And so the last bit of that I would say, what I think people are really searching for, you said deep, meaningful relationships, and I totally agree with you. We want fulfillment, man. We want to feel seen and heard. And when we feel fulfilled in a career, in a relationship, as a parent, that is literally that's almost like the utopia. But just know that doesn't last either, because this too shall pass. And that's the great and crappy part about life, is it's not always going to be as good as you want it to, and it's not always going to be as bad. And this too shall pass.
Yeah, it's interesting, because on the
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, for our newsletter, we're also interviewing some people, and we just interviewed a guy called Aaron Spivak from Hush Blankets. They went from nearly going bust to building one of the biggest sleep companies in Canada. They went from 0 to 48 million in 2 years. And what he said to me is, because they went through so much struggle against all odds, and he basically said, sometimes you just got to sit in the pain and not ignore it and know that it will end. So my advice is more hard-hitting than most people's. But the reason why I'm taking action is because, like I told you, that victim and the voice of the champion, I think if you're in a bad situation, you've also got to take responsibility, because even though this sounds really hard, no one is coming to save you. And it's amazing when you start helping yourself how many other people want to help you, but it starts with you. So I also want to tell people that you've got to take that responsibility on yourself to get yourself out of that situation.
It's so true, brother. You're a victim or a victor, and it happens thousands of times a day, right? You can choose to be a victim, but it's super disempowering. When you choose to be a victim, you're giving up all of your power. You feel weak. You feel helpless. When you choose to be a victor, you're taking that power back. Now, you're going to have additional responsibilities. It's on you, but it's also the most powerful way that you can show up. All right, I want to shift gears just a little bit, because I do want to get into, you have three topics here that I think are fascinating. And the one I think I want to go to first is the power of self-belief. We've touched on it briefly, but finding and surrounding ourselves with people, as you did with the woman, as you did with your good friend doing these runs, that's a huge part of when you're going through dark times. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Are they lifting you up, or are they just like, yep, misery is company. Yep, Nigel, your life sucks, man. You're right. It's horrible. And I mean that because you've probably seen both, right? You've had the people that are like, I'm just going to tell you how shitty your life is, versus the other one that actually grabs you by your bootstraps and says, hey, man, get your ass up. We're going on that run in the shitty UK weather at 6 a.m. Like, that's what we're going to do today. That is somebody that may not make you feel good in the moment, but is truly lifting you up.
Yeah, 100%. It's interesting, because actually the reason why this relationship broke down in reflection with that woman is because she told me that had commitment issues. She wanted to have a family, and obviously things are complicated. We're in the building the business together, and the other people didn't know. And she wanted plans and stuff, and I didn't give her anything. And I thought it was a commitment issue for so long, but now I've realized, and there's actually a quote that I saw from Alex Hormozy where he said, you've not got commitment issues, you've got high standards. There's a difference. And even though she raised the bar in so many areas of my life, and that's why I respected her so goddamn much, overall, for the things that I personally deem important, she didn't meet my standards. But the problem was, is instead of confronting that head on, I couldn't make sense of it. And there were lots of feeling involved. I couldn't separate what I deemed to be valuable and what I didn't. But instead of being open and confronting that, I decided to not say anything, stay in my head. And that left to her being completely broken and me nearly taking my own life. So my message is that if people don't meet your standards, then you need to be honest with them. Because here's the thing, a lot of people are going to call you selfish, you know, family members, people that you love, friends that have told you that you've changed. But ultimately, my take on it is this. So for me, in my situation, is it selfish if I let go of some people around me, if I, you know, they don't compromise to my standards, but then by doing that, I then can build something really big that inspires thousands, if not millions of people. Is that selfish? Well, that's a question that you've got to answer yourself. But my take on it is you must uphold your internal standards and surround yourself with people that also not only hold you to those internal standards, but keep pushing them, especially if you want to inspire and impact other people.
Yeah, and to go back to, look, if you had chosen to compromise, this is going to be a very unhealthy, unhappy way of going about. And people do it all the time. They do it in jobs. They do it in relationships. And what I would tell you, I love what you're saying, because look, I'm clear on who I am and what I want. Maybe I didn't communicate that because I didn't want to hurt someone's feelings. But guess what? It ultimately ended up in a divorce, quote unquote, anyway. So why not have that conversation? And I'm speaking from 100% going through it with my own wife, right? We were separated for a year. Now we've been married going on almost 19 years, but there was a year where we were separated. You know why, Nigel? Because we didn't talk about the things that really meant a lot to us and explain, hey, when you do this for me, when you drink and drive, I worry about our life, the family, you hurting someone else. It's that important to me. Okay, cool. That's a simple solution. I won't do it anymore. I will call an Uber. I'll walk home. I will sleep there or I'll stop drinking. Like, these are options, but I didn't know that was so important to her. For me, I just need 3 hours in the morning to be super happy. You can tell me the world's falling apart after 9 a.m., but for 3 hours, man, it's got to be good. And it sounds really simple, but damn, that's exactly what it took for us to communicate. This is what's really important to me. This is my non-negotiables. This is my non-negotiables. And guess what? We live in absolute harmony. Now, do we have problems? Yes. But when we do, we talk about them. And I think that's when you're having a crucial conversation, only good's going to come from it. And if good means we don't end up together, that's exactly what it was supposed to happen. Any thoughts on that, brother? Because I get on my soapbox every once in a while when it comes to this, but I love what you said. I think it's so important.
No, I appreciate you, you know, being honest about that and obviously confronting that. And for other people listening, you can skip that pain by just getting honest now, because an analogy that you can use, which is quite extreme, is this. That pain that you're going to have being honest with people, they're going to get their feelings hurt. Compare that to this. You're on your deathbed. Imagine you've got one last breath. You flash back through your entire life and you start asking yourself, what if? What if I'd been honest with that person? What if I'd written that book I always wanted to write? What if I'd started that business I always wanted to start? And now you're in a position where you're going to die that last breath with regret. And whatever pain you're going to go through short term, it's going to pale in comparison to that last feeling of regret before you die. And for me, I won't have that. And that's why now, moving forward, I'll be brutally honest with not only other people, but most importantly, myself, because I have to be able to look in the mirror and see that honesty in my eyes. Otherwise, I don't really, for me, see the point in living. So, yeah, for anyone who finds that pain, compare it to the last moment of regret, because I tell you now, it's nothing compared to that.
Yeah, and again, man, it's not selfish. It's actually allowing you to be your honest, true self. So my mantra for 2024 is speak your truth. It doesn't mean it's anyone else's. It's mine. No one can tell me it's wrong because it's mine. It doesn't mean they have to agree with it. It's just my truth. And to that point, there's a great book. Everyone, write this down. It's called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware. And it's a woman that was a palliative care nurse in Australia. And to your point, Nigel, she literally documented these people on their deathbed saying, this is what I wish I had done. And never was it, I wish I did a more board meetings. I wish I did another, you know, like career. Like, nothing comes out. It always comes back to, I wish I had pursued my dreams. I wish I had been more honest with myself. I wish I had really lived the life I was meant to live. So let's not wait for that moment. Let's not wait for being on the deathbed or being on the ledge. The true driver of innovation. I'm curious where that's a topic that you have. I'm curious where this is going to go. Cause again, we've talked about very, you know, real and some, you know, heavy stuff. But meanwhile, in your professional career, you've been a pretty damn innovative guy. You've done some amazing shit in business. So What is the true driver of innovation, man?
Yeah. And I'd really appreciate your kind words. I feel like myself, I'm just getting started. I've got a lot to prove to the world. But why I fundamentally believe in entrepreneurship is really when you're constrained and your back's up against the wall and you have limited resources, you find weird and wacky ways to solve problems, right? So I'll give you an example. When Alpha Inbound, the agency I was, you know, scaling last, for context, scaled it from like five to 140K a month in 2 years. But we were about to go bust at the end of 2021. And the owner told me, like, we're going to pull the plug on this whole thing. And I basically just said to him, just give me a month. And I set this ridiculous challenge because I was so constrained of sending out 1,000 Loom videos in 3 weeks. So 1,000 personalized videos going over the companies, it was e-commerce brands, going over their website, giving them analytical feedback and sending it to them direct cold email. And actually what ended up happening is because I underestimated the sheer amount of effort that was needed to do this, it got to 3 days at the end and I still had to record 700 videos. So I stayed up all day and night. I lost my voice completely, but we managed to complete it. And then what happened is we signed up 5 clients the next month. We built an entire pipeline for 6 months and it completely changed the trajectory of our business. But if I didn't have my back up against the wall, I wouldn't have done that and thought of that solution. So this is just an example. I can give a million examples of entrepreneurs that I know who weren't comfortable, who had their back up against the wall, who took that leap of faith. And then they found, you know, these breakthroughs because of that constraint. Now, if we extrapolate this across millions of people, then what starts to happen? Well, we start getting massive breakthroughs. And if I think about how can I leave the world in a better place, it's to inspire more entrepreneurs to go after their crazy ideas. And with constraint being the driver, they'll have massive breakthroughs. And these kind of breakthroughs could be huge things like curing cancer, solving global warming. And there's so many people out there that don't get started. Why? Because they don't believe in themselves. So if they have that self-belief to get started, even with the constraint, they'll be able to find even better solutions to current problems. And ultimately, that will drive innovation and leave the world in a better place than we found it.
Yeah, as you said earlier in the episode, it's those crazy ideas, right? It's the Elon Musks of the world. It's the Steve Jobs. It's Nigel saying, I'm doing 1,000 videos in a month. That's insane, by the way. And yet it's amazing what you can accomplish because you basically created, I call it, it's chaos. It's a chaotic, but it's activity and good things are going to come from it. So entrepreneur, if you're sitting there in that moment where you're like, oh man, you know what? Come up with that crazy goal of activity and just watch what happens. Something good will come from it. I promise you. Yes, it's going to be organized chaos. That's kind of what it'll end up being is organized chaos, but you will 100% drive revenue. Great things will happen. Nigel, I just looked at the clock, man, this flew by. What didn't I know enough to ask you that you're like, JM, you should have known. We need to share this with the audience before we wrap up. Your open forum moment, brother, just because I appreciate so much of how you showed up today.
Yeah, I just want to actually add on one thing to that 1,000 Loom videos because I didn't actually share the biggest breakthrough that came from this. And this kind of wraps up everything we've talked about today. So actually, the biggest benefit wasn't the revenue and stuff we got. It wasn't changing the trajectory of our business. It was the self-belief that that gave me. And my favorite quote, Theodore Roosevelt is number two. Number one for me is by Winston Churchill, which is one man, I should say, or woman, with conviction will overwhelm 100 who have only opinions. Now, conviction for me, in that moment, like people literally said after that 1,000 Loom videos, you know, 772 hours, I was a changed man. Like I had a presence, I had an energy about me. Why? Because in a moment that everything was against me, I managed to pull it out the bag. And now that serves as a case study that whenever things get tough, I can go back and look at that case study. Because like James Clear said in Atomic Habits, through taking that action in those hard moments, you rewire and change your identity. So if you're in a really bad place right now, that's why you've got to be responsible, take action. Because just like in business, when you're winning clients by showing them case studies, you build up case studies for yourself. And then what happens is you have conviction. And once you have conviction, you will be that one person that walks into the room, everyone turns their heads and go, who the hell is that guy? Because, but it only comes from building up those case studies. So what I'll say to people is rewire your identity by taking raw, relentless action and build up your case studies. And then when you're going through more moments of self-doubt, you can dig those things up. And I promise you, this will change your life.
I love Churchill. This morning, there was literally one of the books I'm reading was talking about one of his famous quotes, and it just the legacy. People like himself, Roosevelt, some of these amazing quotes, like Henry Ford. Whether you think you can or can't, you're right. That's one of my favorites, and it's just I'm chuckling because I'm thinking of the exact quote that he said, and he just. Talk about an interesting man to have dinner with. He's got to be on your short list. Nigel, people want to follow your story, your journey. I can't imagine how they wouldn't want to. I know I'm fascinated. Where's the best place, brother?
Do I have time? Tell me if I don't, and we can cut this out. But do I have time to share a very quick story about Churchill?
Please. I'd love Churchill. He's
I'll
great.
Make it quick. Yeah. So, a lot of people don't know this, but at school and in his early years, Winston Churchill had a speech impediment, right? So he couldn't speak properly. Now, I think it was at 64 years old, and he worked relentlessly on this. When I mean relentlessly, I mean goddamn relentlessly. At 64 years old, he became the prime minister in our country's darkest hour. You know, we can't even imagine this kind of world that we were in at the time against pure evil of obviously Nazi Germany. And this guy who'd been called a freak and who couldn't speak properly used his voice to inspire an entire nation to their country's survival. So if you don't think that you can achieve big things, especially people are hating on you, people are bullying you. Winston Churchill went from being called a freak to literally using, and that thing turned out to be his greatest strength. And now we're talking about him on this podcast, and millions of people are inspired by him every single day.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. And again, we said words matter. Why he's one of my favorites is, he has such concise communication that's so profoundly powerful and simple. And he was truly, like you said, during the darkest adversity that your country's gone through, that the world was watching, and this man stood up, used what was his weakness, quote unquote, as a child, as one of the world's greatest strengths to lead them through it. It's amazing. But back to you. Back to you, Nigel. Where can people find you and follow you?
So davidtogoliath.com. We release two newsletters every single week. So every Thursday, I'm documenting the comeback, you know, the struggles that I'm going through in building this, because we've got an audacious target to hit 100,000 subscribers in 2024. And we're at about 6,000 now. So we're kind of on track, we're kind of not, but I'm believing it's possible. So I'm going to keep going. And then on Thursdays, we're interviewing some of the best underdogs of our generation. So like I said, Aaron from Hush Blankets, we've had Sean Riley on, who built Dude Wipes from zero to 100 million. And I'm sharing those insights to show people what's truly possible. So davidtogoliath.com, subscribe. It's all free. Every single newsletter takes 50 hours to build, complete with comics, epic storytelling. We're going all in, man, to produce the best free content in the game. And outside of that, I'm also pretty big on LinkedIn. So Nigel Thomas on LinkedIn, just connect with me there, share me a story, and together, let's rewrite history. And this is a slogan for David to Goliath, so I'll leave on this. Keep dreaming like a giant, but fight and believe in your dreams like a goddamn underdog, baby.
Love it. I will just, brother, the fact that you made that decision back in Austin and you're here makes me very happy. The fact that you're using it to inspire others is even better. So we're going to do everything. Audience, get it out. Get davidtogoliath.com. Get it out there. Let people know. Let's get them to the 100,000. It's more than a worthy cause. It's absolutely what we need. And I'm inspired by having you on the show, brother. So thank you.
Yeah, and thank you to you, Jim. Like, a lot of the listeners won't know how much work it takes to actually build podcasts. It's a lot. So thank you to you for doing what you're doing for the community and being so open and honest, because probably 90% of people who listen to this, you'll never even, you'll never meet in real life. But a lot of those people will rely on this podcast to get them through the tough times. So thank you to you for being you and doing all this, Jay.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I would love to say it's out of that I do it, but I get so much from it. You have inspired me today and all my listeners. I know that. Guys, let's go support it. Let's get it done. This was awesome. An amazing episode. One of the most vulnerable I've ever been a piece of and been a part of, a small part of it. And I'm so grateful that Nigel shared his story with us today. Until next time, remember, your mindset matters. I appreciate all of you so very, very much. We'll talk soon.